We have a prayer, please.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to meet this evening. We thank you for the blessings that you have discovered upon us as citizens, friends, and brothers and brothers. We pray tonight that as we gather here, that we will be able to meet in peace and harmony, and any of our feelings between our brothers and sisters will be laid aside and work out a compromise for the next situation. Lord, be with the councilman, the mayor, and the participants of this meeting tonight. Keep us all safe and healthy, and everything that goes to that building of your kingdom. This is our prayer, Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Show me the pledge of allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's call this August the 1st, 2022 meeting to order. Need a motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting?
Motion to accept.
Motion been made and accepted.
Second.
Call the roll.
Connie.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Jenny.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
And Allie.
Yes.
All right. We'll start off under the old business. I'd like to go ahead and mention right off the bat the LJ Main Street Festival. We had a meeting on it with the committee one day this week. Everything's moving on forward. We've actually got a big jump on it this year as far as what we did last year. It's the same format. We got two bands. We'll have the food vendors. The booths will be set up. We have a parade. We have a pancake breakfast. It's going to be at the firehouse. And like I say, it's virtually the same as it was before. It's really looking good. We got a lot of help. We had 13 to 15 people on the committee. I think the time before we had 15. This time we had 13 to show up. So that's really good. So any questions on the festival for those who are not on the committee? Bids on the ballpark lighting upgrade. They'll be in the paper August the 8th. We run them four times and we have the open bids on that. With that, I have the ball field lighting. That's the contract you have to look at and what you have to look for the scope. That's how big that is. Just because it's not that big in its entity, is what's required, but that's what is required as far as paperwork for the ARPA money. You don't just spend the ARPA money any way you wish to, so your feet's held to the fire, and just to take the ballpark lighting upgrade and repairs, that's what was necessary. So we got that back today, and we scheduled it to be in the paper, like I say, on the 8th, and that's the ball field. Pavilion at the cemetery update, that's gone a lot further. If anybody's been down there and looked and seen it, it's actually up. They'll be putting sheeting on it tomorrow. Poles are set. It's just absolutely awesome. So if you get a chance, ride through the cemetery and look at it. I'm going to jump down a little bit while we're there to, the next thing on there is the stones reset at the cemetery. If you remember, Keith Monument tuck it under their wing to set those back up, and we spent some money last year in getting them reset, some of them set back up, and we agreed to pay a little more, and they went back and they reset them, and they've got 90% of them looking really well. Although there are still a few that's going to need some addressing to it, and the lady that does that for us is she's really pleased with the progress she's made, and she's going to set up another little walkthrough with me to see which one needs more attention, is still leaning, and obviously there's still one or two that does need it. But for the, I think 64 got set up and straightened up the first time, so that tells you how in dire shape that cemetery has been as far as the stones goes. So yeah, we paid them again another cutting today while we're on the cemetery, and they're doing a great job. Everybody's bragging on it. Everything looks good when the pavilion's set back up and done. And for any of those in here, it's old news to some of you, but the pavilion is, it's a unified area for us. It's going to be built, and it's nice to hold the ceremonies for the funeral under it. Instead of being in the mud and the rain and the weather and the muck, we can have a unified spot under there, and it's going to be nice. So, let's see. Letter on the fire command cars. If anybody's had opportunity to see them, David Martin took them, had them striped, done. That's the ones that we had, the deal was made with the county. When they went to lease program, we got two really nice vehicles for the fire department and two for the waterworks. That was the last two to be lettered, and they look absolutely awesome. They do. The new F-250 that you've heard so much about, we've ordered from Ford last year. Previous chief, Josh, had ordered it. It's due in here Friday. So with that, I think Fireman Erbrink, his company has got the responsibility of putting the lighting and all the stuff on it. And he assured us that when we get it in tow, I believe he said a couple of weeks maybe, he'd have that done, and it'll be dressed up, look as good as the other. And it is brand new, so that's great. And the update on the ARPA fire tools and airbags. Most everything's in, paid for, only waiting for the airbags. So that was that $45,000 that the fire department requested, and we did get that's coming, and everything's on the move for that. Paperwork wasn't as bad on that as it is this, but everything's moving right along with that, and that's going to be a great asset to the fire department. Last but not least, under old business, Matt's not here, our engineer, but as we gave he and the attorney both the authority to talk to them, negotiate with them, everything they can do as far as any of the buildings goes, as far as we call the box buildings, that's behind Pilot or over on the near side of the interstate, along with Seneca, the digester company. No great big strides been made. They went 5 or 6 weeks and nobody said anything. I don't know if it's economy or what's going on with it, but they talked to them. There's nothing moved forward, nothing moved backward. They're just there. So anything's going on. But the one thing I will say, rumor had it that the ballpark had been sold. As you see, I've got the lighting deal going. They contacted us right off the bat, and it was the owner of the property. In his deal, he would like to have seen us let the ballpark go back and them take it back over. And to put to rest the rumor that we don't own it, we paid for it, and we got a deed. So for those who say we don't own it, you need to go to the courthouse and pull it up. We did. We have it. So it's owned by the city. The ballpark is ours. I told them and on the phone call, and it was not the people wanting to build the building, it was the person wanting to sell it. He said they would really like to have the ballpark. I said, well, you might put up something and send it to the city and whatever you want to do. Well, what would it take? I said, well, I'm going to tell you, and this was on the phone. I said, you have to give us better than we have now somewhere else if you want what we got, because we own it and it's ours. He said, such as. I said, such as. If you're willing to find a piece of property, and they actually said, well, they might be looking to do, maybe do that. Then I said, if you find it, acquire the land, you build the ballpark, you put the parking lot in, you put the buildings, the concession stand, you put it backstops, ball diamonds, roads, everything in its entirety. Well, we just walk out there to a brand new facility, wherever it would be at. I'm sure the council would be more than happy to just swap you keys for that little piece of ground. I said, but there again, nobody said nothing or did nothing. So Matt, talking to him this week, again, I guess he let them understand that the controversy had been going on about the ballpark, and he said they have no interest in it. They would just readjust whatever they had to do to make it work. At this point in time, they don't want the ballpark. So there's another myth that's running around. And a lot of that came from, and while I'm explaining stuff, I'm going to keep moving. The buildings. A lot of you got questions on the Corps of Engineer drawing that was sent out. I got one. City got one. So other people got one. That drawing is for the Corps of Engineers. I had a gentleman down on the back road back there. He come to me and he said, well, they took the ballpark out. If you have the same drawing I have, it shows the ballpark's not there. But that's the Corps of Engineers. It's not the building people. It's not the people wanting to build a building. It's not the people selling the land, buying the land. That is the Corps showing that the building is up in the front. If you'll notice in the back, there's elevations and stuff that the Corps of Engineers, who is the one that you have to deal with if you're going to cause a flooding issue or anything else, And they are saying that they are dealing with the people that's wishing to build the buildings. But in the same token, that's the core. If you've ever dealt with the core, and I have, they make their rules and they stick to them. And they'll make your feet held to the fire if you build something. So that building that's on there, that's irrelevant as far as where the building is going to be. They just did that for a drawing showing here's where the building is and here's the discrepancies is in the bottom by the river. So I was asked, well, should we come over here and fuss tonight about where's the driveway going in? Where's the building going to sit by? Where's the lights going to be? That's got to do with the building permits and all of that. That paper that came out is for the elevations of the flood zone in the bottom and retainage basins. Has nothing to do with questions that I can ask, you can ask, if they was even here. But they would deal with those people as they come. And that shows you, I'm glad to say, that the Corps of Engineers is really involved in what's going on down there. They're not going to come over here one day and say the buildings are built. When did that happen? They're on their game. They're right up front. And they're dealing with it. They're going in. And that's what that paper is about. It's not about the wishes and the whims of how the building sits, where the driveway is, or how many spaces, or whatever. So, with that, we'll move on down. And like I said, they have approached us none. With an agreement, they approached us none. And we're, the reason they are not, I will go ahead and say this. They would wish that we as Lebanon Junction citizens would go in debt and borrow money or get a grant and put in $7 million worth of water and sewers so they could have whatever buildings they want. But it's pretty obvious. We've all talked to them. I have. I told them right off the bat when we first went with the engineer and told them when we told them to take over and run with it. If you want to come in and build buildings, you want to build a business, be willing to upfront the money, put it in the bank. We'll build the sewers and the water, everything you need. We'll maintain it from that point on. Come back and tell us what you want to do because we're not going in debt. Why would we want to go in debt for 20 or 30 years and put a sewer system in that would take care of all this upgraded buildings that's coming in and what have you? And thus be responsible for that payment. And then not build the buildings. Is it not suggested that maybe with the economy as it is and interest rate floating around? So if we jumped up like people do and offer them all them incentives, like we were asked, what kind of incentives are you going to give these people? Why do we want to give them anything? If they want to come, let them pay. And that's the way it's been presented to them, and that's probably why we haven't heard nothing from them. So with that, that's what I had on here about Matt's update. Matt said they didn't shy off. I think you'll probably say the same thing. They didn't shy off on the discussions of or whatever, but they're just sitting, not knowing what they want to do. In doing so, Matt told me on the phone Friday. He talked to him Thursday, Friday. That their request was, if it's going to cost $7 million with an avenue to maybe change something as you go down the road, where is that bottomless pit at? Now, I'm talking about that's what the companies want. Where do we cut it off? Is it $7 million or this or that? But it's not. If you get into some other avenue that you're going to have to change something, there's a lot involved in this on our part, not theirs. So with our part being said and where it's at, they're worried that we would get started and get involved in this, and then all of a sudden something go right or left and they have to put in a lot more money. So they're wanting engineering costs dug into, looked at, researched. That costs money. So in doing so, Matt said they told the people, y'all put the money up, we'll dig into it deeper and deeper until we can say this is what it is. This is the way it's got to be. If you want what you tell us you want, this is the way it has to be. They did not commit to giving us money, but they said they would go back to their people, per Matt's conversation, I wasn't involved, and see if we can't get, just to throw a number out there, $100,000, put it in an account, to do the research that needs to be done out of their pocket. So they can be told, this is what it is. So if we're willing to pay for the upfront cost of looking into something, I don't blame them. I would too. Why get to the end and find out it's a lot more or indifferent as it is? You always want a number to be less, but if it's more and you're talking millions of dollars, I think it's money well thought about and maybe put up. Is the money put up? Remember this. No, not yet. But it is on the table, on their side of the table. That was their suggestion, not ours. They just keep going, well, why don't y'all put it in? Why don't y'all put it in? Other cities do. We're not other cities. So I personally feel like the way, the avenue that they're wanting to possibly go is the way in best interest of every individual that's got a tax dollar invested in this town. Because there again, why do we want to pay millions of dollars for them to make money? Because you got to remember, the people that's building these buildings, when they're built, done, said, and gone, they're going to sell them. And when they sell them, we're left holding the bag for a note that they don't build them. So there again, it's nice to be Lebanon Junction and be in the catbird seat where we're not going to, they don't come, we don't lose nothing. They don't come, we don't make nothing. But I don't want them to come and us lose money. So I feel like what I've expressed to you all is what has been told to me. And I know that's my stand as well as the council's on where we're at. Now, if anybody got any different opinion, I understand. If you wouldn't listen to it.
And Mayor, I'll just add, you know, I've been a part of those conversations, and the city, we've been very strong in our position that the burden of the new infrastructure would have to be completely on the developers. You know, obviously developers, they're about making money, so they don't love to hear that right away. And they're not used to hearing that. You know, most cities will give as many incentives as they can to bring them in there as quick as they can, which we haven't done. So that's not what they're used to hearing. So with hearing that, they understand, okay, we're going to have to fund this. We're going to have to fork up the money. So it's understandable when you're talking about spending millions and millions of dollars that these developers want to have more certainties. They want to know exactly how much money is this going to cost. So I think the mayor explained it perfectly, but kind of where the discussion ended and what they're comfortable doing is, with these huge projects, you have, you know, the non-construction costs are significant. There's a lot of work on the front end and the design and the planning to get accurate estimates. And what they're willing to do and where we think they're going to come back with to us, and we're hopeful, is to be able to do that in phases, like what the mayor's talking about. Put up X amount of dollars to be able to get further along in the design and planning, so then they have more certainty about how much it's going to cost. So I really think it's really been, we've gotten off to a good start. You know, I think obviously in the beginning, they're kind of hopeful we're going to change our tune of, no, we'll go get this grant, we'll go do this, and we haven't done that. So I think we're at the point where they understand the burden's going to be on them. And I also think it's reasonable from their perspective that they need some more certainties of how much is this going to cost. But I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to get it done, and it will be a great precedent in this city for that growth is going to pay for growth. And that hasn't been the case in this county. And by LJ setting that precedent, it will be a big deal. It really will.
Yes. A lot of concerned citizens who received the letter mm-hmm. in the mail and received the new Corps of Engineer plat, there was one date on there that was a question, August the 8th. And everything that didn't comply with this map had to be addressed by August the 8th. 18th. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But it has to be addressed by that date. So with them including the park, should we, as the city, address this to the Corps of Engineers?
No, see, that's what I was telling you before. The building shows the park's not there.
Right.
But they're talking about the elevations in the back. The Corps has nothing to do with the building or the buying or the selling of the park at all.
Now, there's drainage issues over the whole property because that's in floodplain.
Well, that's so what the Corps' job is.
So, with them building a building on top of the wall park,
right.
Which I know they're not.
No, they're not building the building on the ballpark.
So it's going to cause drainage issues in the ballpark and all along all the houses that border that property.
Well,
so they're going to have to change the way they're drawing it not the court drawing, it's actually the customer's drawing that they submitted to the court. The court has not verified that drawing. But as of August the 18th, they will not accept any comments on this particular drawing. So they may go and they stand. I don't know. So if you object to the way it's drawn currently, they give them reason to reject the permit.
Well, it's pretty obvious they can't build a building on a ballpark that we own.
But the court's probably not accepting that.
I've dealt with the Corps enough.
I have
to know. I know you have, sir. I know you have. So anyway, I've dealt with the Corps enough to know that they're not going to let them get away with anything.
Right.
The Corps is an entity of its own. The United States Army Corps of Engineers.
So
you don't push them. You don't buck them. I mean, anybody's willing to go to that hearing and talk to them and ask them to show them.
There is no hearing yet. It states that there will only be a hearing depending on what was if there's any complaints or issues.
One, like you sir said, that's just the application that they tender to the court. I'm sure there'll be a lot more follow-up, and it sounds like, I think they'll definitely have to amend their application before everything's finalized. But I think a big part of that is that's just a very preliminary application. The developer has to go through the court
to
even get started.
Maybe somebody should have asked me to amend it, or it needs to be amended before that.
Absolutely, and it's clear that, you know, like the mayor said, we own the ballpark. There's no doubt. There's not going to be a building on the ballpark unless somebody were to come in and be able to upgrade our ballpark, relocate it. So I understand your concern, but that's a core problem.
Right.
That's not the city's problem at this point. But I don't.
What about the building being on? I don't know where the flood wall starts and ends on that side of the railroad track. That same building. Being built on what maybe the city thought was flood wall all the time. So whatever's cut right there, what y'all been cutting and maintaining, that building's setting on that.
Well, I know when it's said and done, the Corps not going to let them put a building where it can't be. They're on me every week about a brush on the flood wall or this or that, or if anybody gets on the flood wall, anybody rides around, I mean, the Corps, you can ask, sir, we deal with the Corps every week. And I know one thing I found out, when the Corps says, this is what it is, that's
right.
What it
and
is.
On that side of the tracks, I mean, literally the building's being built on what y'all been cutting, maintaining the building.
Well, that's what you think preliminary per the drawing, but that doesn't mean, I will assure you, they have not bought a ballpark and they're not building that building on that ballpark, so there's pretty a good chance it's not going to build on the flood wall either. See what
right.
I'm saying?
So let go.
Huh?
Not change anything.
Pardon me?
Is the answer.
Not change anything.
Yeah, just let it go.
Do you think I'm going to let them build a building on the ballpark?
No, you're not going to say nothing to them now, or are you going to wait?
I don't have to.
Okay.
They can't build a building on something they don't own. And that'll come up when they put the plat out for the building itself. That's the Corps paper.
No, they didn't draw it. The Corps took the drawing from the customer. And they're using that as an approval, the customer is. The Corps will look at it. What will the Corps say? I don't know. They'll probably say, you can't use this drawing because
mm-hmm.
it's not correct.
Right.
If they figure that out.
And there's a good chance that's the way they may go. Right? It's just
okay,
a problem.
So we'll just let it go and hope the Corps finds out.
That. Well, that's the Corps' job.
Okay.
That
but
is the Corps'
job. It's not our job to send anything to them and say, hey, you're showing a building on the ballpark that we own, and you're showing a building on the flood wall.
I'd call and tell them.
I mean, what harm is there in writing them a quick letter that just says the drawing that's been submitted to the Corps
right.
shows building that's on there, and we have until the 18th to make a comment. Our comment is we own that property. I mean, it's a quick letter that
yeah. and yes. we want to know what range is on the property we own.
I think that's doable.
Yeah, that's no
and
that's
so
no
anybody
issue.
Anybody that lives, I mean, lives
that would be no issue at all.
That property can do the same thing.
And like the
I'm
mayor
not
said,
understanding why the city wouldn't want to do that.
Well, and you got our engineer talks to the Corps all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's already been a discussion that they've had, but the city would be happy to do a formal letter. And like I said, we'll be working with the Corps throughout this entire process. This is very preliminary, very, very preliminary. They have to file that pursuant to the Clean Water Act. This is just the beginning stages of it. And all those kinks will get worked out. I think you, like you said, you guys will have trust. The Corps is very good at what they do.
So you're going to have trust through the whole system and not ever say anything as well.
We work with the Corps all the time, sir, and we'll be happy to provide them a letter of the citizens' concerns. We can talk about it for the meeting, and it's a fair concern. I get it. You look at the drawing, but of course, that's not our drawing either, as you know. But so we'll be happy to follow up with them in writing.
And it says by August 18th, if you don't, create a comment on your concerns to them, that it could be a rubber stamp.
And I think all adjacent, if you're a property owner that got notice, you should comment as well. I mean, exercise your right, absolutely.
Right.
And the city will as well. Yeah. Thank you.
Todd?
I mean,
writing a letter to them and drawing it to their attention is no.
Because
I would be the first one to say, when Sarah gave me it and it came in, I looked at the building, and the building on the drawing shows it right up to the back of the houses, and the ballpark's not on there. And that's why I started calling. I said, hey, we own a ballpark, and it's ours, and nobody's took it. We ain't sold it, and we have a deed to it.
Let's just meet their stipulations of whatever date they want comments, just make a comment. Let's put it out there and make it right. Public record.
The key thing is, like I said a while ago, Larry over here, was I deal with them enough to know you don't get very far telling the Corps engineers what you're going to do. So this building, and you've dealt with them a long time, this building company is not going to be able to just tell them, well, I don't care what you think, we're putting that building right here. Corps engineers tells you what to do.
Right. I just want to get our voice in there when we get
No, to and I understand. No, and I understand. Right. And like I said, that's the whole ball of wax. Right. I mean, I understand totally.
Well, they'll listen if you put your name in there again. They're not going to listen once it's further down the road.
Right, so it goes on a lot more in depth too, as you know. They got to buy wetland somewhere else to do this. They got to put retention basins. There's several things they have to do. Just as we've been looking, the engineers did when they first started about the drainage in the parking lot. Which way is it going to go? The drainage in the parking lot. That building cannot go in there unless it's up. It's got to have drainage. When you're building your elevations of your parking lot, that is your water runoff in most instances to the back.
And that's going to concern the city too, because there's drainage through the railroad tracks.
Right. And see, Matt talked to them right off the bat when we first talked to them the very first time. So like I say, Matt deals one-on-one with the Corps constantly. So he's not going to see it pass by, but we'll be more than, I'm more than happy to send out a letter and just bring it to their attention.
Well, I think you would question that the drawings are incorrect, and how can you approve a plan that is...
I had building drawings over there that showed five buildings. I had drawings that showed three buildings, two buildings from back in the days past, So you kind of lose grip with where you're at. This is the newest updated something that just came down the pipe.
Right.
So like you're saying, and I noticed it myself.
Yeah, well, even before they had buildings drawn across the flood wall back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, do you know how long the flood wall is on that?
I don't know the exact length of it. No, I don't know the exact length. Not right now. I got every drawing you can have down there. And they just put it on PDF where I can sit and look at it, and all pretty colors and everything.
Because they're acting like there's no flood wall there two times in a row on proposal.
Yeah, but that's why I'm telling you, the Corps knows it is, because they on me all the time. All the time. You see the grass being mowed
like
out there?
That's why it's not their drawing. They just took the customer's drawing and they're putting it out there for comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the application that they submitted, and they sent out notice.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And I know all the developers are looking in the cost of what the, some of those projects because of that land and the flood.
Yeah, that's going to cost them.
Yeah.
I think
you're going to see.
That's a $100 million deal going on. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. they got the money.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm preparing the citizens that I would suspect that you will continue to see changes to the plans, and because they're going to be looking to take cost saving measures, and it'll be an evolving situation. But
they got to stay on top of that. I mean, that's why the infrastructure, you want them to pay it.
Right, that's right. Yeah, that's why I say we may not be able to stop them from buying it and his own right to build it, but we can hold our feet to the fire to do it right.
Yes.
That's the way to look at that. All right. Any other council person have anything on this? All right, on down. As y'all know, we had the the upsurge deal in the fire department. And in doing so, I want to tell you all that I have met with the fire department twice. The ones that stayed, I'm so proud of them. And I know that's what a lot of people here talk about here, whatever. But in doing so, when I met with them, the ones that stayed on, held on, done their utmost, I just can't praise them enough. In doing so, I had to come up with a chief and assistant chief. And chapter 95 of the KRS states that I, in the volunteer fire department, I am in charge of the fire department, are my responsibility. And that puts me in a position to where not only is it my responsibility, but I have to answer for what goes on, what doesn't go on, what's going to happen, where it's going. So in doing so, I was faced with getting a new chief, and I had some people put in their applications. I had people call from Louisville once it hit the news. I had people call from Louisville saying, Larry, Mayor, I'd be glad to come down there. I'm retired, but I this and that, and I got this much training. I'll help you out, get you through time of crisis or whatever, which I showed the news people that night just based on what I seen and heard. I didn't want them going to bed at night thinking that they was not covered. Not when, like I said, and some of the news people was down there, when they see Southeast fire trucks sitting in town because they eat lunch here. And if we're close enough to eat lunch here, I don't think there's any avenue that they couldn't be here on time when needed to be, especially with the mutual aid agreement we have with the surrounding fire departments. In doing so, in my talk with them, and I've talked on television, everybody's seen it, that I assure the people here, don't be worried. You're protected as much as you can be protected with what we got. And they went above board. First off, right off the bat, I hear that we missed a run. Well, it turns out later that run was not missed, according to the documents. I think one person might have showed up, but the other part of the ambulance was there. It was a medical assist. In doing so, it was the worst thing ever happened in the history of 11 Junction to hear them talk about it. But we had three acknowledged the very two meetings before here. Standing right here. So yeah, we had three taped in the previous meetings. One was a medical assist, one was an auto accident, I believe, and the other one I can't remember, they said. So we had three. So to have three and not be on the news and everything, it's not bad. Have one, everybody wants to just go all overboard with it. Now, was it a problem? Yes. Is it something I hate to see happen? Yes. But bottom line, it did happen. It did. So in doing so, I was faced with trying to hold it back together. Steve Gohagan, I forget his rank as it was, but he was a ranking officer that was left. He stepped up to the plate. He held it together. He got me the information I needed. He talked to the ones. He correlated a meeting together with me and the remaining firemen and ladies, fire persons. And there were some questions asked and good questions. It was also told there that I appreciated them for what they did. They hung on, they made it. And in doing so, they even made runs into Hardin County. Well, Hardin County was so backed up, they couldn't get their own people there. We went and helped them two, maybe three times there. We made the run up with somebody in the Bernheim Forest. I mean, they stepped up to the plate and they did what should have been done. So that's needless to say about what we had or what we used to have or what we might have had. This is what we got. We got good firemen. They stepped up to the plate. They showed the responsibility by being there. They admit there's some things maybe need to be changed. And in doing so, with the longevity of the people we have and the growth that's coming. Well, like I said, I have people call me, say, we'll come down, we'll join your volunteer fire department. And everybody got to remember that. It's a volunteer fire department. In doing so, some of them I knew was a band-aid on the situation. A chief come in temporarily just to hold me through, but could you praise the person for that? Yes, you could. But in doing so, one of the firemen's dad, he put his name in the hat. Very, 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 very credible. Very credible. In doing so. So I looked at him. I looked at the paperwork that I had in front of me, the people I had. Adam Heath. For those who don't know Adam Heath, he was raised up here on Walnut Street. when he was 10, 11 years old, he was hanging around his fire department down here. I was hanging in the pool hall. He was hanging in the fire department. So, and because he had relatives that was on the fire department. Todd Crady's always been hanging around down there for years also. Mr. Finley back there for years, a lot of the old timers. But boy drawed up a want and a need and a like for the fire department. He went on in his resume, he made it his ambition in life. So he went on to be a 20-year fireman. Some other, Shepherdville, I think, was a volunteer at one time, and the rest he'd been on duty over there. His credentials is extraordinarily as good as anybody else. He's a trainer, he's this, he's that, he's got irons, he's so knowledgeable. So in doing so and being youthful, and he's been talking about already about building a house up the road here, if it works out for him. His wife came, she was all about him being a fireman, his kids. So his heart's here in Lebanon Junction, and you can't say it's not. Anybody wants to say it's not, they're lying. Anybody wants to negative push that young man. He in turn, so I give him, needless to say, I give him, appointed him as chief. I had another name in the hat that I consider to be a responsible person. It'd be hard not to say he's not, is Todd Crady. He was chief for years. He bowed out, went on, let the other firemen take it over. But I was fortunate enough to have him in a position to where the vacancy on the assistant chief, one of them, that he stepped up and I pointed him into that spot. So I have, for assistant chief, a person who's been chief before, very credible, knowledgeable. I have a young man that's from Lebanon Junction that's just gung-ho and all about it, and he's already made some admirable changes. He's looking into some other stuff. He knows, and I am not going to knock what we've had in the past because we've had knowledgeable people. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm trying to tell you all as citizens, we have not backslid any. We have a good staff. We have more firemen. We have some more people trying to get on. We've had one or two more sign up. We got more coming. I think some of them is waiting to see how good it gets. And if they're waiting to see how good it gets, they need to come on because it's good. Fire department is under control. We're down there with man. It's doing great. Equipment's there. We've had no animosities as of yet that I know of, but believe me, we will. We will. Because I have them in my home. I have them in my work. I have them where I work. I have them who I work for. And if you don't think it's going to happen here someday, you need to wake up. So in doing so, with that, I just want to commend again Steve Gohagan for stepping up, doing his part. The ones that's behind him and supported him. They got the inventory back together where it was all taken over there, trying to find what was short. And they're doing a very, very good job. So, any questions? All right. We'll go to the sign-in sheet. You get that job every time, though. Penny Pipkin.
Hello, David. I'm a director. It's a concern I have that maybe something you cannot do. But you know, I live on 434. Mm-hmm. And the traffic is so bad now because of working on the intersection. But it's not just the traffic, it's the cars are flying by our house. Mm-hmm. Flying by our house. Motorcycles. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't even sit on our front porch and talk. That's how fast they're going. They come around that curve and it's like boom. So that was my concern.
Well, to address that, I'm not gonna say they don't, because I've seen it. And then a lot of this is stemming from the interstate being shut down. Not on the norm. Every day, there's people come through there too fast during the day when there is no wrecks. There is. And they've been trying to get them. And Todd had mentioned it before up on his street, and we tried to set them up there, and we actually got a few of them speeding, what have you. And I've been overlapping. Terry will get into it with that. We've been overlapping our shifts, so we got two at one time. Because I did mention before, with the phones as they are today and the bad people that wants to do the ugliness, they know where the police are. So we put two out now, and we've been overlapping them. We're trying to do it a little differently. He can explain that to you, but then he might give away his secret, so you know when they got two on, when they got one on, whatever. But in doing so, I've actually seen them catch some. But as you know, but when you do have the accidents and the traffic problem that's coming up and down the pike, a lot of those people from out of town, and if they're from some of the states I've worked in, they think 80 mile an hour is normal in the city. They don't care. So they come into town too fast. They come. I've seen one go over the tracks here the other day. I thought he went up in the air and come over so fast. Well, so your problem is there, and it's noted.
Yeah, whenever, before I came here, I did, you know, I came down here, and then I went back and drove, and it's 35 miles. But I guess they think that 3 is an 8.
Yeah, yeah. That's what them two women did, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I 75 means you do 75, right?
95.
You ought to be on 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will bring it to their attention. He heard it, I'm sure. So he's here this time.
Okay.
So, Mr. Reddick, right?
Oh, I'm good.
You're good. And we will get that letter out.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have concerns with what's going on, if I don't tell you, you're not going to tell right?
It's your town. It's your town.
You gotta let people know.
It's all of us, Tan. It's your time.
You're getting left out of the
process. Right, right. But like I was the same way and upset when I know we didn't make no plan to sell no ballpark, and there wasn't no ballpark sold, and I seen it on there. That was my first question. And I asked the engineer, he said he was gonna talk to him about it. But like I say, I don't talk to the engineer every minute, every day, as well as I don't the attorney. The engineer's too busy, he charged me.
Well, I appreciate
you. Look like you might need it.
No, I tell you what, the council, y'all made a really, really good decision when we allowed us to let them two move forward with talking to these people, because they know what we want, they find out what they want, and they'll address it for us. So it's the best safeguard we could have had with putting them two out there. And to know that if they do move forward and they put the money in the account to address some of the issues, we're not paying them, we're not having to pay to hold them off. They're paying us to help hold them off to make sure it's right on their side and ours.
I need a sure path of water tap to put in. Can you do that?
For enough money.
Oh.
I got you. Yeah. Dave Karen? Sorry. Or Dan, I'm sorry. I know it's Dan.
Just know that there's a lot of people in that fire department, talking to me, and I, to be honest with you, I was asked to put it this way. And my whole goal was to get on the fire department, train the people that are on the fire department, and then step back and let the younger people take over. I do know that your chief right now lives in Jefferson County, so I don't even understand why he has a command call. Because there's no way he's going to make a run for that. I know that I'm 24/7 available because I'm retired. But I'm not sitting here to find out what I can do. I'm just telling you, you got a bad problem and it's getting worse. And y'all might want to think about what you're doing, because you're going to have a lot of people walking out. Just tell us
what they want. I'll tell us what they want. You have to tell everybody what they want, and I do not check around.
It don't matter what they want. Larry made the decision to
correct
the chief.
He made the decision to get a new chief. And the decision's made, it's over.
Hey,
I'm just telling you that.
If they're talking to him, and he's got all a grudge against certain people on the board, then he's got an issue with them. He should be listening to the people.
He should be listening to the people on the fire department?
I didn't say that. I said he shouldn't be putting words. There's a big fire department. And Larry's in charge of the fire department. I hear all that. Who wants to make that kid? No, I let you talk that I'm a lifelong resident of town. I was born and raised here. That's still here. I come to these things all the time. Half y'all don't even show up for half of them. I've been to everyone. Last meeting, there were 8 people in here from the board. And the board. That was it. Nobody showed up. You want to show up when. I want to go, I say, what's on Facebook about this issue, this issue. We understand. And Larry decided that he wants somebody that he trusts. He might have took a vote. If I ran a company, I'll ask my employees what they want. They say this, I'm the owner, I'm the mayor, I'm the mayor, I'm the city. That's what he's done. He explained that. I'm sorry you didn't get it. You're probably qualified way more than most of them.
Let me know
where
you're
going. I'm just tired of
hoping. Well, so now I got an idea of who's the person to provide.
Oh, okay. Here's the deal, okay? I'm not here to plead my case and try to charge you.
Sound like some
more. Okay, no. No, well, then you misunderstood what I'm here for. I'm here to represent the firefighters that got slapped in the face. I'm here to tell the community that you got a big problem coming, okay? I don't care what you do. I don't.
But you do.
No, I don't. I'm just here to tell you all that you got a problem coming. The assistant chief was getting ready to have a no contest vote for the fire department.
That's my plan.
So, all you're doing is all these firefighters that come up and risk their lives for free, just volunteer, for free, okay? If they don't trust your command staff, guess what? They're not going to show up.
But you're expecting to trust them. You've been in this position, what, less than a month?
And in that month,
you use your 3 minutes. You didn't even sign up. We can stand here and argue and bicker back and forth all night long. But my thing is this, and I will go on and say this, then we'll move on. Yes, I made my choice. And yes, that was one of them put his application in. And yes, his son is on the fire department, a good fireman. Now, if you want to talk about me polling the fire department, I did. Because I wanted their opinions, what they thought. Maybe they come up with something that just changed my mind, earth-shattering. The bottom line to it all is this. I have to make the decision. That's it. But I was courteous enough, and I told those firemen in that building, in that meeting, that I've taken your opinion, write them down. A lot of them wrote his name down. There you go. They didn't have these guys' names or the people from Louisville's names. So So I would expect from the fire department they would have picked him. And they picked some of the other ones. I'm not going to get into the vote count. But in the same token, I had one put on there, Donald Trump. Donald Trump make us a good chief. So out of courtesy, not demanded, not law, I put on their backs, tell me what you think. Knowing that at least if they had a mindset to say, well, I like, and I didn't ask for the poll, they wrote secret ballots and give them to me. But I want to know what they thought, where they was. And the thing about it is, if I didn't pick him, maybe there's somebody on the fire department that was already there that could step up. Steve Gohagan was doing a good job. I'll tell everybody that. I don't care who you are. At that point in time, could he have remained the chief from then on? Maybe his job with him? Well, I don't know. I didn't take that consideration long term. Let's go further than that. I don't have to ask the council. It's the monkey is on my back. But I did ask the council. And the council was good enough to tell me, most every one of them sitting here, you the one got to answer for them. You got to live with them. You pick who you think would do the job. And I did. And I really don't think, I think it's detrimental to the fire department. Not so much just what can happen, is when you set the stage for this is what could happen, and y'all be prepared for it, because when the people did leave the fire department, wasn't one, it wasn't two, it was a conspiracy of people getting together and going when they thought they wanted to go, and they resigned, they left. And they couldn't do it again.
You weren't here last season, so you don't know. I was here. I know you would. You got your butt hurt, and you walked out.
Hey, I'm not here to argue with you all. I'm not here to argue with you all.
So why are we letting people sign up if you're just going to let people jump in for 2 minutes and 30 seconds?
I just called him down.
But you let him talk for 3 minutes.
I let him talk way more than 3 minutes too, young lady. He talked way more than 3 minutes. He had 3 minutes on the bottom of that paper. He got 3 minutes. I did what I thought was right. I let him talk longer.
Just like to wait to see what the results are, right? Of the
urgency. I would like to think that I got a good chief. Let's go here. I got a good chief. I got a good assistant chief. At this point in time.
Yes.
And I have. And there's some good farming over there. Now, could they be talked into leaving? Maybe. I don't think they jumped up this morning and said, I think I'm going to leave. But they could probably be swayed, talked into it. I worked in factories where people walked around and instigated strikes all the time. I had plenty of time at the back of time to go home and hunt and fish, do whatever I wanted, because people walked out every year. And why? Because he went down the aisles hollering and screaming, kicking and screaming. No. You had your 3 minutes. So anyway. All right. Sign in sheet, that's the last one. Chaz.
We got the new fire hydrant installed on South Baldwin. Fixed the blower down in the sewer plant. And put a new muffler valve on the tank and on the floor blower. We could install that as well. We did a sludge just test on the number one lagoon. Put in the sludge, all right, tablets. We need to get a significant decrease. Put in some more. We'll check it again at the end of August.
Okay. Terry?
I'm good. I called about the new car the other day, and they just said that it's in production.
In production.
That's what we'll see. And we have two guys up right now, and we are trying to catch the speeder. But there's a lot of people don't understand that when you've got so much traffic coming through town, if you try to stop them, you're causing more of a headache, more of a backup, and more accidents. So you're not going to catch each and every one of them. I got two guys out right now, and I'm sure they're out doing their job. We'll do our best. If we can't do our best, anybody else wants to step up to home plate, come forward. I've been working day and night myself. I will be out tonight I don't like to advertise that when I'm out at night time because everybody gets on their phone and wants, oh, well, he's out, well, he's out. You know what? I just done a traffic stop last week. I got drugs out of the car myself. So it's not that we ain't doing our job. You're just not going to catch each and every person. But right. We'll do our damnedest, as I guarantee you that.
Right.
That's all I have. Mm-hmm.
Assistant Chief, Fire Chief? Okay. Do you have anything?
Florida had a pretty plain vacation.
Right. All right, Council, Tim.
I guess, Chancellor, you still have the capability to spray for the seeds standing water?
We don't have a sprayer, no.
We don't have a sprayer anymore. Can we give it to the county?
We never have a sprayer.
We used to a long time ago. Years ago, we had one. I didn't know if it still had one.
I've got a tablet that's like going to the creeks. Okay. Other than that, the county always came up.
Well, I know with the outbreak of what's going on in the little work down at this place now, we're standing water in as much rain as we've had. If we might want to take a look at that situation, parks and stuff, just kids. Other than that, it's all.
So you got Joe? Good. Jenny?
I'd like to thank the city workers who helped us set up the park for the ministerial backpack giveaway. Gave away 309 backpacks. The last one went out today, so it wasn't just over the weekend. But as we were having our meeting, it was, you know, I have to give a shout out to the fire department as well. Having a scare this past month, literally 500 yards from the fire department, and 911 was called. And the first group to arrive on the scene were firemen. And again, my heart goes out to every single one of them who have been on the fire department, who have risked their life for somebody else's life. And I pray that all of this will come to pass and our city will go forward with it. But I noticed on this fire and rescue, we get a monthly report, and I don't think I've seen a monthly report of 40. I've seen them 36, 38, 32. This 40 shows that we didn't shut down, that we are going to make it. But we have to be, as the council and the people, for the city, not against.
Thank you. Connie? Teresa?
I just wanted to thank the fire department for coming in and taking over and all of y'all that get out there and do some work. I appreciate it. I just want to let you know that.
Allie?
Well, like everybody else, I appreciate the fire department. I also want to thank Chaz for his help in doing the backpack. You know, you talked about speeding concerns. Well, we get some in front where I live.
Would you?
Yeah. It might be nice if we caught one or two of them sometime. But that's hard. It's too open right there. And the other thing is, St. B's is going to host a blood drive. The 3rd of August. They will be down at St. B's. If you have an interest in donating blood, from 2 to 6.
No.
Other than that, thanks everybody.
Motion to adjourn.
I make that motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion been made to the second. Hold them. We'll hold them.
Jenny?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.